Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of the To Be Fit podcast. Today I am joined by a fellow MNU student with the name of Marcus Baxby. See, I got it right. And we're going to talk about many things today in nutrition, training, and also how we're currently getting on with the course. So I'm gonna hand the mic to Marcus so he can introduce himself. And we'll go from there, really. So go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, so I'm Marcus Baxby. I own a company called Newbie Nutrition, which I've kind of only just recently set up. Bit of background, I've kind of always grown up kind of pretty active, playing sport, mainly football growing up. And I was always interested, I was never the best player, so I was always interested in what the players were doing kind of off the pitch to kind of whatever I could absorb and replicate, I would want to do that. So food was obviously part of that. I was always interested in cooking and playing football. I would always try and kind of replicate what the footballers were eating. But back in the day, that consisted of reading interviews with footballers. They were eating loads of pasta. I remember reading interviews like David Beckham, like all he ate was pasta. And that would be my diet. So not always been kind of interested in it, but not necessarily been the healthiest through that. So as I kind of read more about nutrition, the penny started to drop in terms of calories and protein intake being kind of equally important, but also kind of personalizing it for me. So football was obviously kind of training every day, high intensity lifting weights, sprints, doing that every single day. I was there kind of trying to replicate their diet, but training once a week, playing once a week, sitting at a desk for the rest of the time. So obviously figured out what was what I kind of needed for my energy needs, and went from there really. So did a nutrition qualification about a year or so ago, which is PN as we've spoken about, Ian. Kind of left that a little bit underwhelmed, as we mentioned, but did take away some useful stuff, but kind of just wanted to take it to that next level, hence kind of starting MNU. And so far it's been kind of really enjoyable. We've only got through the kind of introductory lectures so far, but some interesting stuff coming out already. So yeah,
How old are you, Marcus?
I'm 29. So graduated uni in 2010 and I've kind of worked in an office job since then. So all my kind of nutrition knowledge and my training has been based around the kind of office environment, which is not always the most conducive to having a good diet. And you're kind of sitting down all day, there's cakes knocking around the office all the time. And that's kind of what I want to do in terms of my business, is kind of go into that corporate wellness space and start helping people that are kind of predominantly sitting down all day, office-based, just kind of trying to support them with their, whether it's fat loss or training for events or whatever it is, just kind of helping those people. So, yes.
So what common themes do you see running out the office environment?
It's mainly that people are sitting down all day, they're not really moving around much. There's lots of temptation in terms of cakes and sweets and stuff coming into the office. And the kind of the options that are around the office environment are not always the kind of the greatest options. So it's just kind of I've helped a couple of people in my particular office and just kind of educating them about overall, for your activity levels, for your size, etc., this is kind of roughly what you need to be taking in, and just kind of helping them on that side of things. So it's kind of quite basic stuff, but yeah, that's the kind of level that they're at, really. So
the basics work.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, prior to our conversation, I've been on your your blog, looking at your nine core principles, and is that typically something which, again, it's a good read and fundamentally you just can't argue it. Is that something that you'll put them on to initially?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the nine core principles are kind of what I have, from my reading so far, kind of what I've discerned to be the basics, the kind of the core principles. So it's stuff like calories, eating mostly real foods, getting good sleep, moving, stuff like that. So yeah, they're the kind of basics that I've started with people. I'm still in the kind of early stages, but I'm looking forward to kind of going through MNU and testing at the end whether those core principles are still applicable. Because like I say, this is what I've kind of put together so far has just been the culmination of various bits of information that I've got from different places. So it would be good to go through MNU, kind of test that at the end and see whether it's still relevant.
Yeah. There might be 10 or 11 by the time you
maybe,
don't,
or yeah,
there might
maybe
be four, you know.
Or they might, they might all be wrong, but I'm hoping, and kind of the information that I've got so far from evidence-based people, they seem to be on the right track. There might be some tweaking that's needed. So
what was it you did at university?
I actually did a law degree. And didn't go into law in the end for my job, but kind of worked in recruitment for a bit, and then worked in sales, and then most recently kind of business development, in a kind of corporate partnerships kind of role. So working for a charity and getting corporate partners on board. So yeah, that's kind of still what I do as a 9-to-5 at the moment. So all the nutrition stuff, MNU, is kind of done on the side of that. So
no way. So how long, when did the kind of penny drop, when you realized this is what I want to do as far as a long-term career?
It was probably a few years ago. So I'd been working in my 9-to-5 for a few years. I was kind of getting more into training, getting more into not just training for football, but also kind of lifting weights and CrossFit and that sort of thing. And that was, I kind of started listening to a lot of podcasts, listening to reading a lot of stuff online. And just there was kind of so much information out there. And I just realized that I'm quite into this stuff anyway. I think I've been eating well for what I need, but actually what is the truth? What is, what's the kind of evidence behind everything? So, just kind of felt a need to get a qualification, start helping other people to kind of work their way through the mire of what the truth is.
Yeah. What podcasts do you listen to out of curiosity?
So I started off listening to some of Tim Ferriss's podcasts.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned before, there's a bit of a bias there about keto and high fat and stuff like that. So Joe Rogan podcast as well. Then the kind of the better ones more recently. So Danny Lennon's podcast, the Sigma Nutrition one, that's great. There was a really good episode on that kind of recently, which related to the most recent topic on the course,
yes,
about interpreting evidence and that sort of thing, so we can chat about that. But yeah, they're the kind of main ones.
We were talking before we went on, and I must be living under a rock, because I don't listen to Joe Rogan nor Tim Ferriss, but we said these have like a huge following. And they're kind of probably the top tier listen podcasts in the world. And you know, the Joe Rogan one we mentioned about, the Lane Norton one, which I've been kind of hoping to get onto, because hoping to hear him on it, because apparently it's very kind of keto friendly podcast, I would say, and they seem to have an issue with carbohydrates.
Yeah, it's interesting because the what you see when you kind of listen to a lot of these podcasts is they get tend to get a lot of the same type of people on. So Dom D'Agostino, who's the guy that's kind of chatting back and forth with Lane Norton on the most recent Joe Rogan podcast, he's been on the Tim Ferriss podcast before talking about keto, and he's an actual scientist. Like, he's done loads of research into its effects on cancer and stuff like that. So I'm sure that he's done some great research, but it's kind of because of the size of audience that they have, they kind of make the implication that it's the best diet for everyone, and it's kind of a bit...
It's a bit one-sided.
It's a bit one-sided, yeah. So it's good that kind of Lane's been on the most recent podcast, because that kind of shows that there is an appetite there for people to get the truth out, and the kind of the evidence-based movement is becoming a bit more mainstream. Like you say, Joe Rogan's kind of as mainstream as you can get in terms of the podcast world, so that is positive. I know there was a bit of a campaign to get Martin on that podcast as well, but we didn't quite make it.
Lane was the
evidence-based representative.
Yeah, Lane was probably the first kind of evidence-based practitioner that I came into contact with. You know, I was very much a bro bodybuilder, and literally from 2013 I did a proper bro prep, and then the 2014 I was like at the other end of the spectrum with it. If it fits your macros, high intense interval based training, prep for the next show, which it was a better prep because I was able to eat great food.
Yeah.
However, like now where I am now and last year's photo shoot prep, I was very much in the middle, and like I was very much either kind of one end of the spectrum or other, and that's kind of what the evidence-based crowd seemingly are about, is, you know, looking at everything maybe a lot more broadly. In big picture thinking, kind of,
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the kind of feeling that I've got so far from the MNU lectures. There's that quote about principles, which I put on my blog as well. So there's kind of, I'm going to butcher this, but there's many, many principles and, many, many methods, but only a few principles.
Yeah.
So if you kind of understand the principles, then you can apply your own methods. So whether it's been an extreme kind of one end of the spectrum, if it fits your macros, or if it's another end of the spectrum, whatever fits with the principle, you can still do. So it's about kind of finding what works for you. So that's been an interesting kind of
introduction. I think the introduction's been sort of great, creating the solid foundation as far as kind of where we're going from now. Like, it's been three, coming up to week four, and we haven't talked about anything nutrition really related. You know, and people be like, well, it's a nutrition qualification, but it's important that as a collective we're all moving forward with the same kind of, like, I don't know, mindset going into the actual learning of things. And why did I mean, obviously we discussed precision nutrition, and this isn't an anti-precision nutrition podcast. It's two episodes in a row I've kind of, we've alluded to its maybe inferiority as far as like evidence base is concerned and things like that. But it was just coincidental that we kind of interacted over Instagram, and we've just said, you just kind of said my previous course was inferior, and I just said PN question mark, and you were like, what kind of like made you choose MNU as a kind of like a, with, because there is a few out there that we won't mention.
We don't have to name and shame, but I think I actually, so I'd obviously done precision nutrition, did get some useful information out of it, but I still was left with a feeling that I didn't feel confident kind of going out to help people with what I felt was kind of, I still felt like I had kind of incomplete information. And I also felt that there was a kind of another level to go to in terms of my understanding. So precision nutrition was great for the kind of the basics, but in terms of choosing MNU, I started listening to Danny Lennon's podcast, heard Martin on that, heard him talk about MNU. I actually sent Danny Lennon an email and just kind of asked him, if you were in my position, what course would you recommend? And I said, I know you're mates with Martin, so you might say MNU, but he'd kind of said he was really good and sent me a nice kind of detailed email back and said, yeah, I know I'm mates with Martin, but regardless of that, MNU would be the one that I'd choose because it's evidence-based and because a few of the other ones out there are not evidence-based, and just the kind of quality of the course. And he went through the kind of the mentorship that he'd been through with Martin as well, and how helpful that had been for him. So yeah, it just kind of ended up being a no-brainer, really, in terms of what MNU gives you versus the other courses that are out there. What about you? How do you kind of come to that?
Well, I think I've been through the ringer, which is probably a good thing as far as where I am now. But the whole kind of like journey to this evidence-based, I had to really learn how to learn, and there was a
Right.
lot of kind of things I was listening to, and that kind of put us onto the PN, which kind of again confounded this anti-carbohydrate, and it just kind of left us in a very much a confused state.
Yeah.
But again, listening to a lot more evidence-based stuff, like Danny Lennon's Sigma Nutrition, following the likes of Lane Norton, then getting onto Martin, which really
Yeah.
kind of I was surprised I'd missed Martin. I don't know whether he'd
Yeah.
been under a rock for a while, but it's almost like the past, I don't know, maybe year and a half, 2 years, it's just sprung out of nowhere. Like,
Yeah.
so yeah, I just really kind of gravitated to, the way he speaks, and sense of humor and things like that. It's very like much mirrors mine, sarcastic, dry, and yeah, like then just started really questioning a lot of things, like questioning everything really, which I do now, and I think they said in one of the previous like weeks is like it you do question everything, and it's kind of ignorance is bliss amongst a lot of people, and they prefer not to know. And when I'm working with clients, like you've said in your blog, is like we almost make them their own nutritionists and give them the tools to manage their own. And I think a lot of personal trainers, coaches out there, the whole thing's back, making people almost depend on them, which I think's very like unethical.
Absolutely.
For me, I'm like literally there is no secrets. I'm not holding anything back. The only issue the majority of people have is a lack of patience. So we try and kind of cultivate that. And me, I've been training a lot of years, and my physique re resembles that in terms of this is realistically how long it's taken me, and I've done a lot of shit wrong. So I can pretty much help them avoid the crap and put them onto a good long-term sustainable, eating habit pattern or whatever you'd like, and training plan, and that's kind of like again why I chose MNU, is because it's a preferred way of learning for me. I don't like the whole textbook thing. We got sent an empty folder, which is great because we fill it with the shit. It's very individualized. My folder's going to look totally different to yours, and each student's, and how we learn is totally different. Whereas PN was like, right, you get a few shitty videos and you get like your book, and it's like, right. And I think, was it you who said that one of someone just flashed through it within a month or something and was all of a sudden.
I remember going on, so there's a Facebook group, and I remember kind of saying, just kind of going on it to look how long it was taking people to get through the course. Because I kind of wanted to get as much out of it as I could. So I was reading every chapter, I was watching every video, And then at the end of it, the kind of exam is obviously just a kind of a tick box thing. And I noticed one comment where someone just said, "Oh, I just watched the videos, click through the quiz at the end. I was through it in like a month." And I was like, "Well, hang on, I'm going to get the same qualification as this person, and the time that I've put into it is significantly different from what they've put into it. But how is somebody, a client, going to know that? Like, how is somebody on the street going to know how much time somebody has put into their qualification?" So something like MNU, where it is kind of one lecture a week, you do the homework, everyone's kind of at the same stage as they go through, just seems to kind of work a lot better for that. And the kind of accountability that people have when they're doing that course, when they're doing MNU as opposed to another course, kind of seems a lot better.
Yeah, the communication in the group, it is very much, as I've said, like a bit of a collective. Everybody's
Absolutely, yeah.
supporting one another. And you know, this is kind of the hope with this podcast, is have a new student on every week, just to
Yeah.
kind of again help people, and you know, like talk about shit and give people again a voice, and other people can find them through there. And you know, this could go, for example, on your website, and people be like,
Yeah.
right, get to know Marcus a little bit, you know, as opposed to another website, saying this, you know, and that. It can be a little bit more personal. And I think like creating trust in this business is very important, and
Definitely,
a
yeah.
lot of people trust the wrong people,
Yeah.
you know. And I think like we're relatively new to all of this evidence-based stuff, even though we were kind of not.
Yeah, well, like you say, you've been training for a lot of years, but kind of you and like me, you've kind of had to get your information from wherever you can take it. So it's good to kind of be able to channel that and know that the information that we're now taking in is going to be the most recent evidence. It's going to be based on all the research, and it's going to be evidence-based. And I think the idea that you've had about kind of getting a new student on each week is really good, because, like you say, the community that I feel like I've joined is a very supportive one. And I didn't get that from Precision Nutrition, sorry to mention it again, but
Sorry, PN. Sorry, John. We love
sorry,
you.
mate.
I actually
No,
like John Berardi. I
I
think he,
yeah, so do I,
I
yeah.
think he's got like, I've lost watched a lot of videos, especially from the coaching side of it, and there's a lot of stuff on there that I have
Yeah.
used and taken.
But yeah, I think the kind of the network of support that is kind of inbuilt in MNU is really useful, because everyone's come at it from a different angle. So whether it's kind of a bodybuilding background or a kind of football background, or people are coming at it from a medical background or whatever, it's kind of really interesting group of people, but also kind of all getting the same correct information and all wanting to help people in whatever way that they can. So I think it's great.
So what's the long-term plan for you then, Marcus? What do you think, where you're going with everything? What's the kind of the dream?
Yeah, so, well, like I say, I'm still working my kind of 9 to 5 job and kind of doing MNU on the side of that. So I've set up this business, Newbie Nutrition. The goal is to kind of over the next year or so just qualify.
It's all
Sorry.
right, mate.
Goal is to kind of qualify with MNU and then start to help people through the Newbie Nutrition business. So that's going to be kind of on a one-to-one basis, but then also, as I mentioned, in the kind of corporate wellness space, kind of going into businesses and helping people within those businesses kind of towards their, whether it's fat loss goals or competing in events, half marathons, marathons, etc. So that's the kind of long-term goal, is to gradually phase out the 9 to 5 and do the kind of nutrition business as a full-time thing. So
Have you,
yeah.
I don't know, well, my mind's gone. What was I going to say? Are you going to be predominantly online or offline or a bit of both?
I think a bit of both, yeah, a bit of both. So I would like to build in a kind of face-to-face side of it, because I think that you kind of, you get to know people a lot better face-to-face, but then also the online side of things I think will be really important in terms of being able to scale the business and help more people as I move forward. So yeah, a bit of both.
Yeah, I found working with people first and interacting with people has helped me transition fairly well into online, because that was always a little bit of a worry, is how do I get me across online, you know? So
yeah,
interaction, Skypes, things like that, I think are massively important.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still a bit difficult, because, like, you know, when you're in a room with somebody, you can read them a little bit more and you can react a little bit better. So
yeah,
you know, it's about trying to make sure that communication's there, I've found so far anyway. But predominantly the majority of people I work with is on a one-to-one basis. However, I still use like an online template with them.
Right, okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, they'll fill in feedback forms and things like that, and we can review them there and then. But I could easily do that whilst I'm talking to the likes of, say, yourself on a call. So it's seemingly, it's one of them things, it's kind of like the podcast is, let's start with something and let it organically get somewhere, as opposed to constantly going, I want to wait for everything being perfect before I start.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same with newbie nutrition is, I wouldn't wait till the course is finished. What you're doing right now in terms of like, right, let's work on this adjacent to this, and you know, using the MNU as a kind of like accountability tool and interacting with both things, I think it'll work tremendously.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think something that I have got through kind of reading about MNU is the help they give you on the business side as well. So I think that'll be really useful in terms of how to kind of get clients on board initially. Because that's something that I'm struggling with a little bit at the moment, to be honest, is I'm working this kind of day job. I'm doing MNU on the side, and it's kind of how do I then move from that into starting the actual business. So I think the help that I'll be able to get both through the course and through speaking to people like yourself and fellow students who have kind of had a bit of experience of starting a business already, I think that'll be really, really useful.
Yeah. I mean, when we made the leap to being self-employed, Stephen and I were already working in the industry. So we'd already had a little bit of a reputation, and we'd built the 2BFit brand up whilst working full time in our local kind of leisure center. But it was separate. We did like fitness classes and things like that on top, and it just took off. And there was a point where it was like, right, we opened our own facility, and there was a point where it was like, right, if we really want this to grow, we've got to kind of make that. It was a risk, but like an educated risk. It wasn't like it was going, right, quit my job with no kind of foundations there. We worked loads, absolutely loads. And like, I think anybody who is self-employed will probably attest that you know, you do work a lot, but with the kind of the long game of being able to do less. But even though now I still work a lot, but I love it, you know, like I actually enjoy my job.
I think if you're doing something you enjoy, it feels less like work. Even if you're kind of on paper, you're putting in a lot of hours. If you're doing something that you love, then it kind of feels less like work and doesn't feel as painful as kind of grafting away in something that you don't like as much. Which I know, kind of from my point of view, I've got a lot of friends who now have graduated uni, gone into kind of office jobs, and just don't enjoy it, but are kind of tied to that life because that's the career progression that they're on. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, I'm now looking, what do I actually enjoy? I'm passionate about nutrition, passionate about helping people. How do I actually kind of phase out that day job and move into kind of self-employment full time?
Yeah, it's just about, I don't know, just constantly being optimistic, you know. You know, that's going to, I don't like the word motivation, because like, you're human and everybody questions everything and gets dazed, but so long as like the kind of general optimism is towards what really kind of fills you with passion, and that's kind of the same with me. Like, I've went through times where it's been difficult and questioned whether I'm good enough to be in this industry, but it's kind of optimism what's pulled us through that, you know. Things will get better, things will get there, but you have to keep going, and it's kind of general fat loss, you know. You've got to stick with the process. Because if you don't, if you quit, then you're just never going to get there.
It's about consistency.
So let's have a little look. So this week's learning, we'll talk a little bit about that. So this has been about kind of research and understanding research and things like this. How did you get on with this week's sort of tasks and homework? And
I think it was there were a lot of people on the group chatting afterwards saying, wow, that was kind of a bit of a baptism of fire, and I kind of know what they mean, but I found it really interesting, kind of understanding the different types of research, understanding how to read research. I think the bit that a lot of people kind of struggled with was the statistics bit of it, so looking at kind of the p-values and the standard deviations and that sort of thing. So I can understand, I kind of took me a couple of times reading through that afterwards to kind of get through it. But I thought in general, the homework was about kind of not listening, kind of reading the research and drawing your own conclusions from it, and knowing how to interpret that research rather than just being drawn into maybe a conclusion that might hold a bias in there. Kind of looking critically and thinking critically about what it is that you're reading, and being able to kind of make a good appraisal of that, and recognize kind of what that study actually shows. So yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was useful kind of background and foundation for what we're about to learn.
And I think, like, typically, I mean, I don't know if you've got any experience reading research prior to.
Not a great deal. No.
I mean, I'll typically go to the link that say somebody's shared, and skip the majority and go straight for the conclusion. But typically the person that shared this information is somebody who is evidence-based, who we all are kind of singing off the same song sheet. There was a kind of a slide in the lecture which referred to, you know, Professor Stu Phillips versus, I don't know whether it was Noakes or Taubes or whatever, but, you know, this guy is an expert, this guy has an opinion, and they'll typically rely on the fact that the majority of people won't read the research, and if they did choose to read the research, how to kind of dissect it and understand its limitations, and mostly, like me, go straight to the conclusions. Like, at least I'm kind of following people that I feel honest in the industry. But, you know, I don't know if you heard about the whole HMB debacle, that a certain scientist, I'll not name names, but was being maybe funded, and there was a bit of bias there, so he fiddled a couple of results, and basically HMB turned out to be more potent than steroids, anabolic steroids. So there was that kind of, I think Menno Hentelman went to town on it on Andy Morgan's podcast, so if anybody wants to listen to that, he just didn't hold back. He named names and everything like that. So, but yeah, I found this week's kind of, like you said, a bit of a kind of surprise. But when I watched the thing back a second time, I was a lot more confident. And I just think it's going to be a case of practice, read, look at stuff, and like looking at these terminologies. Like I listened to I was that Lane Norton thing, and he said, "Oh, something along the lines of it was an R.94," and I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's a strong correlation." And like I'm like, "No, no, no," but like, you know, a week ago I would have been like, "What the
completely over your head?" What does,
you know? And I think it's just getting that mindset right. At the end of the day, I'm not a scientist. I'm not. I'll let the likes of, you know, Krieger and Schoenfeld do all that sort of jazz. And I think it's just, I think this was my problem, is feeling like I had to be on their level, you know, like the Eric Helms and, you know, and being intimidated by me not being able to, maybe if I got into a debate online, you know, and I was met with somebody who was like, maybe I couldn't counter that argument.
But, yeah, I know what you mean.
And I think I think the MNU qualification just gives me this feeling of legitimacy within this field. Is like, listen, you know, I'm willing to accept I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And coming out of the precision nutrition course, I just felt a little bit like a bit fake.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, I got exactly the same feeling. Like I said before, I didn't feel confident to be able to help the amount of people that I actually want to help. So I think the main thing I got out of this week is kind of, even if there is a gap in your knowledge, the ability to kind of go and research it and look for a specific research piece of research and know what you're looking for and know how to interpret that research. In order to fill that gap in your knowledge, I think that's kind of a really important skill to have, because a lot of people will kind of either kind of give a glib answer that isn't kind of really evidence-based, or they'll quote a piece of research without having interpreted it correctly. So I think our kind of role is to be able to interpret the research, feed it back to the people that we want to help in a way that they understand, but always being able to kind of fill in gaps in our knowledge if we need to as well. So I think that's a really kind of a really good aspect of it.
And I think knowledge is only part of being a good coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like other skills like empathy. But I think it all needs to be within this bubble of having a critical mind and, you know, avoiding this black and white thought process that, you know, people will ask me, like this is an example, people ask me, is this certain thing healthy? And I'll be like, define health.
Define healthy.
And they'll go away and be like, shit, you know, like what?
That's the thing, it makes you question everything, doesn't it? It makes you kind of doubt what you thought you knew, but nutrition's an interesting thing in that I don't think there's another field where so many people with so little knowledge kind of profess to have so much knowledge. Like everyone, if you speak to anyone, they think that they kind of eat healthily.
Everybody's again, got experience with nutrition.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's the kind of N equals one. It worked for me.
Yeah.
Therefore, this is the best way, but
I think, you know, like there's a lot of a certain coaches of bodies, let's, you know, say that, you know, like everybody seems to, I don't know, just sat, it's like camps, you know, and like there's a lot of arguments, and again it's about like, you know, keto, vegan, you know, if it fits your macros, clean eating, this and that, you know, and it's everybody will defend their kind of stance and be unwilling to see outside of it, which I find really important. And again, I think teaching clientele the import, like hopefully a few of my clients will be listening to this, and you know, I keep driving home is the importance of, you know, approaching things with an open mind, not to judge people, not to judge things. And if people ask you, hey, what diet are you doing? Especially if they're losing weight. I goes, you're the empowered go one. Just simply go, just broadly go, oh, all I do is eat in an energy deficit. And that will blow you know, Sandra's mine from the office.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and they'll be like, oh, so is it more paleo? You know, they're like, everybody loves a label in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. It
helps identify and simplifies thing. And I just don't think enough people are maybe on the level. And I think a lot of people maybe coming into their menu qualification might be just now getting into that headspace a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think for moving forward, maybe this is part of like the actual qualification. And this is what I've thought is like, how do we interact? What do we talk about? What are we putting on social media? Because, you know, I always think if somebody goes to my Instagram page, I want them to get an idea of who I'm about and what I'm about. Yeah. Like bodybuilding's for me, and I love that. Yeah. But I don't go out there saying everybody should be a bodybuilder because not everybody can be, but that's why I love it. You know, and dieting to like, so you got striated glutes isn't fun. You know, but like I've got a good broad of experience for my Instagram's about being a normal, healthy person. And that's where I live my life the majority of time. And I don't care whether you're a CrossFitter or a bodybuilder or a, I don't know, footballer, you know, if you're a wanker, you're a wanker. Like that's the truth of it. If you're a bodybuilder wanker, you're a bodybuilder wanker. And I know plenty of them. You know, if you're a CrossFit wanker, you're a CrossFit wanker. I'm not allowed to say that because people identify me as a bodybuilder. And you know, people be like, oh, he's hating on CrossFit again. And people are like, oh, I thought you didn't like CrossFit. And I'm like, why I haven't said anything bad against it. I'm fine. It's just it's again methods and principles.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's there's always certain people within, like say, whatever camp it is, that are going to take it to the extreme and kind of become kind of blinkered into that. That's the only way of thinking. And my way is the only way. And I'm right. And everyone else is wrong. But like you say, what we're kind of being taught is the kind of importance of keeping that open mind and realizing that there's a few principles, but there's many different methods to achieving what you want to do. So,
Brilliant. Let's see what I forgot. Any more notes? I do have a note about Slimming World and the, you know, the big news.
Yeah.
That Sandra's Muller no gate. Longer to no longer can smash 15 mullers a day.
Yeah. I think that this is kind of what we've been saying, though. I think Sarah Duffield did some really good posts on Slimming World recently. And it's that thing of people being kept at arm's length from the information that they actually need, which is that energy deficit, you'll lose weight. Not kind of what Slimming World do is kind of separate foods into sins and other foods you can eat kind of as much as you want of.
Synergists.
And it's just kind of, it's disempowering people, isn't it? It's keeping them at arm's length from the information that they actually need. And sure, people do lose weight on it. I'm not doubting that at all. But if you ask them why they lost weight, they'll say, oh, I didn't eat the sins. I ate good stuff. And you're just kind of like, well, that's not really why you lost weight, is it? It's kind of, you followed a method of which there are many. It might not work for everyone. It's kind of,
and I think they rely on the dependency factor as well, you know, like they cultivate, and that's quite often what I hear from Slimming World. I was on holiday with someone who's lost, God, must be 6 stone through Slimming World, you know, and out of curiosity, I just asked, you know, like just pretty much anything was going. And for her, she said that it was the support network that really kind of drove it home, you know, and I asked what the difference was between you now versus when you were obese, and obviously just simply being more structured. Eating, making healthier options, cooking less fatty things, not snacking, you know, and like obviously help. And I think support is massively
Yeah, absolutely.
important. And you know, if people do want to do Slimming World, and like absolutely, but the majority of people who do it seemingly rebound once they stop doing it.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
you know, don't
And
stop.
they don't have the knowledge to know that there is enough, that there's kind of other options out there. So that it's kind of the principles and methods thing again. It's like this one principle is kind of underlying everything. This one method has failed for me, but they don't have the knowledge to know that kind of there are other options out there for them. It's kind of that way or no way for them, unfortunately.
And I think it's important because, like, I think it was week one, or maybe 1.5, week two, where we, like, kind of put our biases in there, you know.
Yeah.
The majority of people, it was like question one was copied and pasted, you know, that everybody gravitated towards, you know, tracking and calorie counting. And I think it's important from an evidence-based practitioner to pull ourselves away from that. We do understand the core principles, and if we don't, we are currently going to learn them. However, we need to kind of check ourselves at the same time, and you know,
that was a really interesting exercise actually, because it did make you kind of reflect on what your own biases might be. And like you say, a lot of people, the vast majority of people, were kind of biased towards tracking and calorie counting and that sort of thing. But for the people that we want to help, that's not always going to be a practical solution for them. They might not always want to kind of measure all their food and kind of count their calories. So it's about finding what works for them, rather than kind of the biases that we might have. And tracking will work for a lot of people, as
I
we
love
know.
It.
But yeah, of course. But kind of somebody that, yeah, exactly. But somebody that doesn't want to kind of commit to doing that every day needs to have the knowledge that they don't have to do that. It's not crucial. It's not kind of essential, but that they can still kind of lose weight through kind of other methods that will work for them and that they can stick to.
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, a couple of people put it on there as well with intermittent fasting, and you know, that's probably one of my, you know, let's intermittent fasting and calorie cycling, I guess, would be probably my most go-to kind of day. But it's just simply not eating, or eating less on different days. You know, it's like, that's kind of just it in a nutshell. Like, at the end of the day, I'm managing energy balance some way. And for me, like, it's quite a, like, the old me, the bro me, would have been, no, you've got to eat 6 meals per day, you know, whereas, like, I'll do, like, protein modified fasts where, like, today I've only had a protein shake, but however, last night I had a Domino's, you know, takeaway, because this reflects normality. But, like, normal for me, you know, I'll hit 15,000 steps a day because I've got a dog and work on a gym floor, whereas yourself might find getting all the physical activity in during the week, so you might have to compensate on a weekend, or you might
exactly.
You know, so it's kind of like, right, how can we understand the core principles and apply them to the individual?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we should, I think we've done well here. Hopefully people who are listening haven't kind of gotten overly bored. So let's kind of start wrapping this up. Where can people kind of find more about Newbie Nutrition and Marcus?
So the Instagram is at Newbie Nutrition, which is NEWBEE Nutrition. Website is newbienutrition.com. So yeah, people can find the kind of blog on the website. I'll be putting Instagram stuff up as I go through the course, as I know that a lot of our students are as well. Because there's a prize on offer at the end.
Of course.
So, of course. incentives are key.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm doing this podcast, man?
Well, exactly.
It's all just monetary. That's my motivation. Fuck y'all.
So yeah, people can come and say hello to me there. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, I will link in everything. So when we do stop recording, stay on here and I'll ask you to send us a bunch of stuff. But what I would like to say is a huge thank you to Marcus for being the first MNU student on the podcast. I'm a bit jealous because he might be a little bit more handsome than me. So to any other students that are interested, I might do like a kind of boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl scenario. I think that might be a little bit fair. So if there is any people that want to kind of organise, I know there's particular people with who maybe specialise in different fields. I had an interaction on the Facebook with a woman who is more like mindset based. So when that kind of state of changes come up and that, I'll definitely get on to her. But anybody who wants to come just chat like this is absolutely brilliant. So thank you very much, Marcus.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on. I think it's a great idea to kind of speak to different people as we go through the course. So, yeah, thanks very much, Ian.
Thank you, man. Cheers.